You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. This weekend, a UC Davis emergency room doctor will leave for a four-month sabbatical to work at the National Science Foundation's base at the coldest, driest, windiest desert on Earth. You know where that is? I'm going to let him tell you. He is Dr. John Rose, a professor of emergency medicine and the director of emergency medical services and disaster management at UC Davis Health. He's joining us by phone. Dr. Rose, glad to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, tell me where you're going.
Well, I'm going to be going to Amundsen Scott Base in Antarctica, which is one of the three polar stations that the United States has down in Antarctica.
And what's your role or assignment in going?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically at the pole, as they term it, the South Pole Station there, there are 150 people there. 50 of those are scientists or grantees from the National Science Foundation who are there to do research. Then there's 100 who are basically support staff to help the station run. And I'm part of the support group. And I'll be the physician down there caring for the 150 people, along with a nurse practitioner. And so we'll be in charge of all the health care for the teams, or if emergencies happen, to handle those.
I think it's one thing to be in an emergency room in Sacramento or Davis, California, with what is likely or unlikely to happen here. But in Antarctica, who knows what the emergencies might be? What are you prepared for? And what do you have to do on your own?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's quite variable, it sounds like. So, yes, it's very different than any kind of care you would get in a first world, or certainly in our region and the hospitals. This is more of an austere environment, obviously, but it's different than if you were out in a place that had nothing. The station is well-stocked and has a little clinic that we have there, and pretty much all the equipment we would need. The only thing is we have to do everything ourselves. So if we have to use a ventilator or take x-rays or ultrasounds, we have to do those on our own. We don't have staff to do that. The primary injuries and issues that we focus on, well, a lot of it will just be workers-related injuries. There's some heavy equipment down there, so people can have those, coughs and colds, flus. All the participants are screened for physical qualifications to make them be able to withstand the time down there, but things do show up. There are injuries that can occur because there is some heavy equipment for some of the big science experiments, so we are prepared for those. But most of the time, if any of these events happen, we would primarily stabilize people, and then an Air Force sends out an HC-130 to the pole to pick up the person and take them back to McMurdo Base and then back to New Zealand.
You've never been to the South Pole or Antarctica before, have you?
I have not.
So it's at 10,000 feet, your destination, correct?
That is correct.
I happened to look at the weather report for today. Are you interested?
Well, it looks like it's warming up was what I saw, so that's a good sign.
Okay, so the temperature is up to 40 below Fahrenheit, and the wind chill today is at minus 72 Fahrenheit. And the weather includes ice crystals and blowing snow. How about that, with a visibility of less than a mile?
It sounds like it's spring there right now, actually. So
that's just what I was thinking.
Yes. Well, a month ago, it was minus 80. I'll be there during the austral summer, which is really from the latter part of October through mid-February. And so it'll be daylight the whole time we're there.
Oh.
At the end of December and January, it is complete daylight. So midnight will look the same almost as 12 noon. And so the temperatures at that point get to closer to minus 10 or zero, and much more tolerable.
I'm talking with Dr. John Rose from UC Davis. He's leaving Saturday to spend 4 months working at the National Science Foundation base at the South Pole. You have done this type of emergency survival assignment before, but I think that it was in 2014 that you were at Mount Everest Base Camp. Is that right?
Yeah, we did a trek with a group of physicians to train them in wilderness medicine and went through Nepal to Everest Base Camp. I did not provide the care at the Himalayan Rescue Association Base Camp itself. We provided services for our group that we were taking up and teaching about it.
So what do you have to do yourself to be ready down there? I'm sure you've had to be trained, as you said, to be able to do your own x-rays or do a dental checkup. But what else for you physically has been part of the preparation?
Most of it is just common sense kind of exercise and cardio. The good news is basically you fly into the station and there's not like a long trek or exertion that has to go on because you can't really go outside very long. The major issue that happens for people is we're all flying from sea level when we arrive at McMurdo Base on the coast of Antarctica, and then we're flown to the pole, as you said, which is at 10,000 feet. But because the Earth's atmosphere is actually thinner on the poles than compared to the equator, the relative pressure experienced by your body may make it seem more like it's 12,000, sometimes even 13,000 feet, depending on the pressure that day. So people can get high altitude illness just flying up there. So part of the initial concern as we transition from the night or the winter over crew to us is making sure none of the new participants are getting high altitude illness during that first week when everyone arrives.
And this is a base that was built, I think, in 1956. So certainly they're accustomed to receiving people from the rest of the world, equipping them, outfitting them. How do you pack? What do you get in terms of gear that will protect you from the cold, or what do you take with you?
That's a great question. Everything you can't buy at REI, as they say. This new base we're going to, Amundsen Scott Base, was recently finished in 2008, so it's much more comfortable than the old dome system that they had. When we arrive in New Zealand, I fly from San Francisco to Christchurch, New Zealand, where U.S. Polar Operations staging is at. And there we're fitted with what they call your extreme cold weather equipment, which is ECW. And it's a lot of equipment that you have to return. And it is there to get you through ice time, as they call it. Anytime you're out on the ice or anytime you're in the aircraft, you have to have that gear on. So they fly us from Christchurch to McMurdo Base in a C-17, the Air Force does. Mm-hmm. And then I fly from McMurdo to the pole in an Air Force HC-130, which has skis on it, and is always on station for the pole to medevac somebody out if needed.
Why did you want so much to do this? I read that this has been on your mind for a long time. Finally, it's happening. So, Dr. Rose, why?
Yeah, my wife asked that question too a few times. No, in all seriousness, it's a unique opportunity for those of us who are interested in this kind of work. And I think, many places that have austere care only use emergency physicians because that's how we're trained, is to handle many different conditions. And this, the United States Antarctic Program only uses emergency physicians at most of their bases. And I applied hoping to eventually get this actual assignment, which is to go to the actual South Pole. And I was very fortunate this year that I got contacted, and it's one of those things in life that is it better to accept it or not? And this is, I thought, was a great challenge to be able to accept, and I'm grateful to all the people who are letting me go.
Hmm. Dr. Rose, I'm hoping when you return that we can have a conversation about what you saw and what you experienced, and then I'll reflect on this question I'm about to ask you. But going into it, if you could finish the statement, I really want to... what's the rest of that? And then, as I said, I'll reflect on that when you come back. But what would you fill that blank in with?
That's a great question to ask. Thanks for asking that right on air. but I would say I would hope to come away with a deep appreciation for that part of our planet and for all that we, talk about and live within the world. It's a wonderful place to see cooperation amongst nations, and I hope to really be part of that whole, the National Science Foundation project, and represent, the university and the health system. But I really, hope that I can take in some of that and not feel it's just work the whole time. I hope I can, stand up and kind of smell the air.
Well, you handled that question just fine because you just gave us a window into the bigger, broader purpose of all of what you're doing. So the only thing left is to finish that packing, I guess, and have a safe trip to the South Pole.
Thank you so much.
Really glad to have your time today. Good luck, Dr. Rose.
Thank you.
John Rose is a UC Davis emergency room doctor on his way to Antarctica this Saturday, and we hope to have that conversation when he's back in 4 months or so. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.
We got support from Quartet Health, an online service that works with primary care physicians to quickly connect patients to local in-network mental health services. Health professionals and providers can learn more or sign up at quartethealth.com. And we got support from the Harris Center presenting A Night with Janis Joplin, a musical that celebrates Janis, her music, and her musical influences, such as Aretha Franklin, Etta James, and Nina Simone, this Friday through Sunday. HarrisCenter.net.
And coming up next, more dynamic interviews and conversations with Beth Ruyak on Insight. Up next, we're going to hear about Sacramento's annual LGBTQ Film Festival, which is celebrating 27 years this October with a name change and a fresh lineup of films. Kevin Schaub, the programming co-chair of the festival, and filmmaker Yen Tan join Beth to talk about the films, the community, and the importance of National LGBTQ History Month throughout October.
That's Jessica Maria Ross, and I'm Steve Milne. This is Insight with Beth Ruyak on CAP Radio. CAP Radio connects you to interesting people in your community doing fascinating things, as we just heard with Dr. John Rose and that amazing trip he's going to be taking. Your support for CAP Radio provides a resource for people in our community to find out about cool community events and organizations. We can't do it without listener support, so if you haven't called yet, please do it now. Show your support with a contribution at 1-800-800-5867.
One of my favorite things, Steve, about the fund drives are the grand prize drawings that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And this one, I am so green with envy. Green not only because our environmental reporter, Ezra Dave Romero, is going to be on this trip, but because the grand prize is for a spot with CAP Radio Travels to the Galapagos Islands and the Amazon rainforest. You will be joining Ezra, our environmental reporter, as I mentioned, if you win. And your contribution right now puts you in the running. So we encourage you to enter by calling 1-800-800-5867. That's 1-800-800-5867. Or going online at capradio.org.
Donating now helps give your community the gift of public radio. What it costs, that's totally up to you. But you can really make a difference for everyone who relies on public radio right now by calling with a contribution at 1-800-800-5867. Show your support now for the shows you count on to keep you informed about people in your community, about the election coming up, and about world news. When you hear Morning Edition, for instance, and All Things Considered from NPR, and then the news that you get from CAP Radio. Do it now, 1-800-800-5867.
CAP Radio is committed to arts coverage in Sacramento and Northern California. When you listen to CAP Radio, you're going to hear live local music, theater production reviews, author talks. We cover the gamut. And we regularly feature very well-known as well as upcoming and local artists. We even have a program, if you didn't know, dedicated to book lovers. It's called CAP Radio Reads. So when it comes to the arts, we have you covered, and particularly on this very show, Insight with Beth Ruyak. She and her team cover this region and the arts like no other.
And this is the part of Insight that I kind of like best because it's music and film and art. So if you love Insight, the arts coverage, now is the time to show your support. Show Beth Ruyak and her team of producers and staff at CAP Radio with how much you love it with a contribution right now. 1-800-800-5867. That's the phone number. Or do it safely and securely at our website, capradio.org. And thanks.